With a country divided, the republic at risk, and morality being redefined, it's time to gather round the campfire, get back to basics, and spark the revival that this country so desperately needs. This is the American Campfire Revival with Kirk Cameron.
Had a great day today. I want to pray with you because, again, I'm more convinced than ever that we are toast as a country. And I don't say that flippantly. I've got a joy in my heart and a confidence in my gut because of the faithfulness of God and nothing else. Not because of those that I see in leadership. I don't have confidence because of a great wisdom or a great ability coming from those in the medical field, the political field, the academic field, the military field, although we have many smart and capable people in those sectors. It is ultimately, in my view, the unstoppable, liberating truths of the gospel and the kingdom of God that form the foundation of our hope as we live by faith and not by sight. And history proves that that's true. So therefore, let's go to the God who has made it possible for us to be in relationship with him by sending his son to be the savior and then enthroned as our king in heaven. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for Christmas. Jesus, it's hard for me to even start to wrap my mind around what it's like to be the creator of the universe and then condescend and to take on flesh, knowing that you would be betrayed and you would be not only abused but unjustly murdered at the hands of hypocrites, with those that you've created turning against you. And yet you willingly did that. You went through all of it. You sweat great drops of blood. You suffered and you died. You endured the abandonment of your father while you were on the cross, when you said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you did all of that because love for God drove you to the cross to take care of the sin problem that we could not solve. We were like sheep without a shepherd, and you have stepped up to be the shepherd of our souls. You've loved us, Lord, and now we love you and we give you thanks tonight. Every good and precious gift comes down from you in heaven, and we give you thanks for our family, our friends, for our food, for our health, and for our nation. God, please forgive us of our sins, and please restore us to personal and national health. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I don't know if you're comfortable praying out loud. I never used to be, but I figured, why not? It's our only hope is to talk to the one who created the universe and spoke it into existence, the one who keeps us from orbiting too closely to the sun and burning up, or orbiting too far away from the sun and turning into a frozen rock. He's faithful, and he made our ears, and so he knows how to hear our prayers. And he says that he hears them when we come to him in humility and faith, that is believing. Not only that God exists, but that he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's what I'm trying to do. And I love doing it together with you as my brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Hey, listen, I went and sat down at my favorite pizza place today, and I discovered a section in the American Covenant book that I feel like I skipped over the last time we went through this, and it just resonated so deeply with me. I was talking with a friend through text while I was in the grocery store finding my ingredient list, and he was just pointing out truths to me. You'd know who he is. He's a pretty famous guy, and just stuff going on in the news, and it just resonated with me when I read this chapter. And I'm in chapter 6, page 157, and it's all about Christian social responsibility in the context of early America. And I wanted to share this with you. Do you ever feel like the politics is just, you wish you could just get rid of the whole thing? My son and I were talking about that. Man, I wish we could just get rid of the government, or at least the federal government, and just have local state government. And we could be the United States again, instead of just one big giant nation with a dictator at the top, whether you want a democratic dictator, you want a Republican dictator. Totalitarian, authoritarian rule is always a bad idea. The only one that I want ruling the whole place is the most just and good and benevolent ruler of all, and that is our loving Creator. Other than Him, it's always bad when you give one person too much power. That's when you wind up with totalitarian, authoritarian dictators, or just a small handful group of people. Do you ever feel like politics has just got way too much power, way too much ability to control your life, too much authority to push mandates and demand taxes, and you feel like everything you're working for is being stolen and taken away from you, used by people who are not trustworthy, who don't have character, somewhere 2,000 miles away in a big white house somewhere or in a big white Congress building somewhere, and you're being given laws by people that don't even reflect your values, and they're not even spending the money on the stuff that they say they're going to spend it on? Well, I sure do. And our early American brothers and sisters understood the solution to this problem, and they practiced it for a few hundred years. It's so cool. Check this out on page 157 of the American Covenant book. Here's a question. Do we as the family of faith need to sacrifice more of our time and money to take care of the social needs in our society? We see social justice warriors all the time. We see riots in the streets. We hear about racism. We hear about financial inequity. We hear about all sorts of problems, homelessness and crime and a thousand other things. Do we as the family of faith need to step up and sacrifice more time and our money and our efforts to solve those problems? Or is it good to just let the government take care of it? Hey, we're paying our taxes. Let them deal with it. That's their job. That's an important question. You should answer that. Ask your kids what they think. Some people think that absolutely is the job of the government. Not our early founding fathers, not our pilgrim forefathers and foremothers, they didn't think that. In fact, they didn't want a federal government to take care of all those things. That's what the king or queen in England did for all of those years. That's what they're trying to get away from. They wanted to govern themselves locally, within their own families, in their own community, and take care of their own needs, because they knew that when they pushed it off to the federal government and to a king, that they would do it very ineffectively, very inefficiently. And often they would use the power and authority that went along with caring for the needs of society to enslave and abuse and take away the freedoms of society, right? Because when you get all that authority, which you have to have, you got to be able to control a bunch of money to be able to take care of the poor and the needy. With that kind of authority, you can then abuse people with it and tell them what they need to do, all in the name of safety, or all in the name of what's right or good or compassionate or what's best for the community. Wouldn't you rather have that power locally in your own local area, so that you and your friends and the family of faith, those who are living in your community, can make those decisions for you, rather than someone way, way far away, like a dictator or a president or a czar or a king or a queen or a whatever? Our founding fathers sure thought so. And the scriptures in the Bible sure said so. And that's how the ancient nation of Israel governed themselves before they had a king. They had local self-government, and they had judges, and they had representatives. Anyway, we've been through this before, but I love this. How do we as the family of faith expect to have a revival in our country if we just push all of the tough stuff off to the government? And by the way, when we do that, and we just say, look, we want less taxes, we want less government intrusion, we want less political mandates restricting our life. However, if we want that, well then, What are we going to do with all of the extra tax money that we have left over? Are we going to keep it for ourselves and just spend it on our own stuff and then throw a bone, a little token amount of money to the Salvation Army or to the United Way or to your church once a year at Christmas time to sort of like, you know, play along like you're helping out the truly poor and the needy? Because that's not going to cut it.
Hey guys, it's Kirk here. Did you know that another option to traditional insurance even exists out there? I get that it may come as a surprise since we're so conditioned to think traditional insurance is our only option, but that's simply not true. My family has been using Christian Healthcare Ministries over the last several years, and I cannot recommend them enough to other like-minded believers looking to do things differently than what we've been told to do. CHM is the faith-based alternative to insurance. And most importantly, with CHM, we know that our money is going to help other fellow Christians when they're in need. And this is how we like to steward our dollars when it comes to healthcare. Are you tired of your healthcare the same old way and want to do things the better way? I highly recommend you start by checking out CHM and see if this is an option that could work for your family's healthcare. It does for ours. It's not harder, but it's different in the best way. Learn more today by visiting chministries.org/Kirk Cameron. Again, that's chministries.org/Kirk Cameron.
When the needs of the elderly, when the needs of the handicapped, when the needs of the truly poor and the truly needy begin to rise up, if the family of faith doesn't take care of them and help them, we're not talking about the fake lazy ones who don't want to work for themselves and take care of themselves. We're talking about the truly needy and the truly poor and the elderly and the handicapped. If we don't take care of them, the need will rise up to heaven, and guess what? A civil federal government will gladly step in and take care of those needs, and they will do it by taking the money that the family of faith doesn't want to give to the poor. They'll take it from you in the name of giving it to the poor, and then mostly waste it on stuff that doesn't really take care of the poor. And will actually use the poor as justification to continue taking the money of the family of faith to meet their needs. And then never meet the needs sufficiently. Early America didn't fall for that trap. They understood something that was called the tithe. Now, we find that in the old covenant of the Bible. We see that in ancient Israel, and that tithe was used for special purposes within the family of faith. And in early America, that 10% of people's income was voluntarily, generously, joyfully given and intelligently administered to take care of the needs of the truly poor and the needy, so that there was no need for a federal government to forcibly take your money away from you. Certainly not to the degree that it's being done today. Half of those who are prospering is being ripped away from them and then spent on stuff that we don't want. So again, I'm not trying to get political here. I'm saying, as a member of the family of faith, who takes care of the poor and the needy and the elderly and the children and education and healthcare and all the things that are important to you and me? Well, historically in our country, it's been the family of faith, and they funded those things generously through setting aside 10% of their money and intelligently administering it through the hands of faithful people within the family of faith to meet those needs. And if you didn't like the way that those needs were being met with the money that you voluntarily gave, you replaced those people who were administering the money, or you moved to a different place where they were doing it better. See, that's not possible when the federal government is lord over everybody, forcing you to give that money and then doing things from the federal level. It doesn't work that way. That's where you move into authoritarianism. That's no good. And that's not American. That's anti-American. That's anti-family of faith. That's anti principles of heaven and liberating truths.
So I'm continuing to read here. And the author says that if a Christian concept of social financing is not there, then the government will move in and take the money to finance those things. There was a town in New England with a radical population change.
And thousands of people moved into this town in early America, and you'd have thought that it would have just overwhelmed their system, that it would have just disintegrated their moral integrity as a society. But it didn't. In fact, even though radical population changed in this little town, the needs of these people from other countries, these needs of those who were truly poor were taken care of, as well as the citizens of that town, through a properly administered tithe, which is just the family of faith, giving a little of what God's given to them, putting it aside to meet the social needs of the people. It's essentially the welfare system taken care of by you and me, not by the government who just, you know, takes the siphon hose to your bank account and sucks the money away to Washington, D.C., or away to the capital of your state. Well, that's better than Washington, D.C., but still to using it inefficiently and ineffectively on things that you could do so much better at the local level, and I could do so much better at the local level. And the town's citizens' needs were met through a variety of tithe-supported agencies, cared for the poor, provided education, provided job training, children's education, Bible courses, and English language instruction to all those who came in from faraway places. And here's the quote at the end of this section. Conscientious, intelligently administered tithing by even a small minority can do much to reconstruct a land. I want to try that as an experiment. I'd like to get a group of people together in my backyard around my campfire and say, guys, let's experiment and stop relying on the government to give us stuff, which then allows them to control our society, and lets you and I recreate our local community. In fact, how about just our group of families and meet each other's needs voluntarily, lovingly, in a Christianly kind of way, so that you can be well and I can be well, and I can help meet your needs and you can help meet our needs. And together, let's take care of one another. And that's going to cost money. So let's set some money aside in a kitty, in a pot, and let's use that for one another wisely, not wastefully, not selfishly, but wisely. If we could create little microcosms of wellness and health and spiritual integrity and economic prosperity to take care of not only our families, but those who are poor and truly needy among us, and help one another out and have some extra, not only for a rainy day for us, but for other people, wouldn't that be great? If we could do that, then we could make a legitimate case to say, we don't need such a big federal government to do all this stuff. We educate our children. We take care of our health care. We help one another economically to pay our bills and to put a roof over our head and food on our table and clothes on our back. And we help each other heal our marriages. And we assist one another as the family of faith to know God, to love God, and to introduce Him to those who are far away from God. In fact, we can do so much of this at the local level that we can use the money and resources so much more wisely than giving it away to a federal government and having it wasted on political bureaucrats who just frustrate us and get us into arguments. Wouldn't it be great if we could do that and do that again as the family of faith? I know we can. That's what this country is all about. That's what the American Campfire Revival is endeavoring to do. I want to pray with you one more time. God, thank you for this truth. Thank you for the truth that you've empowered us as self-governing members of the family of faith to take care of the needs of our family and our neighbors. And we can do this locally as a community. God, help us stop whining and complaining about what we don't like, because we're the ones who've created it. It's the failure of the family of faith. God, it's my failure to not take care of those who need me, who are truly in need of what I can give. I have not done that to the best of my ability. God, please forgive me. I am at the center of the problem. Lord, shame on me when I complain and criticize the things that I don't like. Lord, help me to be the start of the change that I want to see. And you've given us, as a family of faith, everything we need to do that. You've given us your truth in the Word of God. You've given us your Spirit that lives within us as the family of faith, that empowers us to overcome evil. And you've given us a demonstration of how to do it through the history that we can read about in our nation. You've done it before, Lord. Please do it again in this generation. Revive us again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the American Campfire Revival Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you'd like to learn more and join the movement, visit kirkcameron.com.